Hi all, we're just getting set up, so we'll get started in a few minutes.
Can you all hear us? Perfect.
Yes.
Great, we can hear
Okay,
you
you
too.
don't have.
You're muted, Desiree.
Situated.
Looks so different from this side.
I'm gonna pull the agenda up and then share the screen. And I've got it. I've got my agenda.
It's true. Feel
Okay.
very sure.
I can't see us anyway. Desiree, I don't know Ian Milliken. Yes, he's with the County History Preservation Officer, and he'll be here to talk about the first item on the agenda, the hydro seeding. Okay, so we can introduce him. Great. So, can we do the minutes first, or do we?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, once you want to get started, we're already recording. I'll set it up.
We are recording?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. This is our meeting, our law meeting. And our first item is to have review and approval of the minutes of 3:23 I hope you've had a chance to review those. And if you have, did you have any corrections or changes?
I have a change. This is Elaine. On the item about the 5259 perimeter wall, it says the perimeter wall is required around the former schoolhouse, which isn't really, I can't read it from here, but that's not quite correct.
There, you mean, the item says there is an existing condition in the ordinance stating that a perimeter wall must be around the former schoolhouse.
Right. That's not quite correct. It should say that, actually, Desiree, you know all the details about this too.
Yeah, so that we can correct that. So that update was letting people know that a mayor and council revised the existing ordinance to allow the applicant to apply for a perimeter fence. I think that was the crux of the update.
That's right. Yeah, that you're correct. Yeah. So that I think that one sentence could just be removed
Okay.
about the existing condition in the ordinance stating that a perimeter wall must be around the former schoolhouse. That's not really what it was. So an existing condition required amendment to the specific condition, right?
And that was for April 27th. Okay.
But otherwise,
Okay.
I don't have any other corrections.
Okay.
So I'll move to approve the minutes.
Yes, ready? Thank you. And I don't, there's no audience, so no call to the audience. And Ian Milliken, I believe you're next with an update, and it's information only.
You need to do.
Do
You
we?
need to.
Do you need to? Oh, to
Does
know who we
everybody else
are?
that have to vote?
Oh,
No,
on the
we
minutes.
did a second on the minutes, but we
I'm sorry. On the
yeah.
minutes, we need to vote to approve the minutes. Thank you, Dan. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any nays? Elaine.
Yes.
You approve the minutes?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so we have some information about the hydro seeding of native grasses at the parade ground at Fort Lowell, and we would love to hear more about it.
Oh, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. So yeah, my name is Ian Milliken. I'm the Historic Preservation Officer for the county. We were approached a couple of weeks ago by Demian, who had expressed some concerns to county administration about the parade ground and dust and erosion issues. And apparently when it rains out there, there's a lot of sheet flooding and sheet flow. So really, it was gauged towards Regional Flood Control District to see whether they could provide any assistance in hydro seeding about a 1.25 acre area. So, am I do I have privileges to share? Is that okay? Oh, no, I do not.
I can just paint by 1 second.
Sure.
Thank you for the focus. Okay, go ahead.
Great. So I'm gonna. Great. Okay. And I'm gonna do this one. All right, can you guys see that screen?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So this is about the 1.25 acre areas. As you know, the Atkins property kind of sits off of it with the what this image does not reflect are the new cottonwoods that have been planted out there. So it's kind of the interior space. Historically, the parade ground continued across Craycroft, but this is the piece that we're concentrating on the west side of Craycroft. And what would be involved in because really the surface has become pretty impermeable, and that's why it stayed bare for so long. So it involves disturbing up to about 6 to 8 inches of the soil in order to till it to make it more permeable, and then the hydroseed mix would be added to that. Because this area sits within not only the Fort Lowell site itself, but the Hardy site and the ancestral Native American component, the county did require that this work would have a cultural monitor. So the way this project's being run is that Regional Flood Control District is paying for the actual work itself, the hydroseeding, and our Conservation Lands and Resources Department is paying for the cultural monitors who will be out there. The work should take no more than a day to max, but they expect to get this done next week. Only because of the fact that it's tied to some end of year funding that expires on July 1st. I'm happy
Wow.
to answer any questions.
So how that all of that blued area or grayed area is going to be seeded?
Yes,
Is
ma'am.
that
Yep.
so that doesn't include the parking spaces that are closer to Fort Lowell.
Correct. It does
Okay.
not.
And what happens after they seed it? Do they come back and water it? Will they be watering on a regular time frame for a while, or what
So
happens?
that's a great question. Obviously, it's being done in advance of the monsoons to hopefully really incentivize some of that growth. There is irrigation now with the cottonwoods. I literally just learned about this project a few days ago, and so I'm happy to kind of get an answer to Desiree to pass on to you about more permanent watering of this. But really, it's a native seed mix. It's not meant to be kind of a golf course kind of looking green. So it's really meant to just get the root zone stimulated and get everything kind of growing so that the surface can kind of return to its natural state.
You know how many species are in that mix?
I do. Let me scroll down here and you can see for yourself. So here's what is being proposed.
So I don't have, I don't think we have an expert on hand about grasses and that kind of thing, but what are the likelihood that these will reseed, year on year so that they'll germinate new growth, not just for the coming year, but for many years to come?
Well, that's the expectation is that your best chance is this native seed mix. Again, I don't quite know the details on the on to answer your question. I do know this provides the greatest opportunity for a more kind of annual growth.
We do have some booklets that would tell us about some of these grasses. I know that, for example, people have come to us and talked about like the California poppies, the ones like around Cacho Peak, and we know they're not native to this neighborhood. They are not part of this mix. I was looking at that. And I'm kind of wondering, here's one of my thoughts is, will they grow here if they don't have the if they don't belong here, or will they come in as invasives? That's the I mean,
Well,
because
they're all native, right?
they're all native to Arizona, but not
Right.
necessarily native to
Well,
this neighborhood. That's
and
the
I guess maybe that's how far reaching are these species typically, and are they found in, Tucson or in just Arizona all over, or I think that's very loosely me getting it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we're getting better at puzzles.
Narrowing in on a question, perhaps.
Yeah.
Are they really native to Tucson or just the larger Arizona area?
Yeah, again, I don't know the answer to these questions, but I'm happy to follow up and have some more information sent on to you guys. I mean, I know that our flood control district obviously does this routinely in a lot of the areas in which they hold their land. So I genuinely trust them. I mean, we have a whole invasives team that obviously monitors. I mean, stink net's the big one right now, buffel grass, all the ones that are the usual culprits. But I would imagine that this seed mix is pretty vetted and standard for what is being proposed and delivered here. But I think that the most important thing, my understanding from Demian, was that it was to break that kind of impermeable layer to allow for more penetration of water so that you minimize the sheet flow and reduce the dust. So rather than just break it up, the idea was to introduce a native seed mix to help vegetate and stabilize that surface.
So, Ian, we have a booklet. I think Mary Lou talked about it, that was published some years ago with a list of all the plants that are native to Fort Lowell, the two old
Okay.
Fort Lowell. I'd be
Okay.
happy to provide that. We can get you a copy. Just tell us how to get it to you. Or we could take it directly to this Wildlands Restoration Group, and maybe they can
No.
mix
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and send
other
it to me,
stuff
and
in, or.
I will, that way I have the contact information. Desiree has my contact information. She can provide it, and then I'm happy to start a kind of a chain with Marissa Rice with our flood control district, who is much more knowledgeable on these questions. I apologize that I'm not able to answer them, but
Yeah,
we're happy
that's
to
fine.
continue that.
Yeah,
Right.
and it's not that we're that rigid about it. It's just that this was published for this purpose exactly, was to try to
Okay.
have people in the neighborhood know the plant.
Sure.
So how would we get it to you? I mean, electronic.
You can is that the one that is already in the design guidelines? If so, we
Yes.
have it online as
It
the
is.
appendix.
Yeah.
So I can send that to Ian, and then I mean, I can copy you, Mary Lou, if you'd like. That'd be fine. And we understand getting the job done. I mean, I don't think we're at the point of saying we don't want anybody to do this, but we would maybe just like to have that one of the considerations. And I'm guessing this is the mix they use then along like the Riverwalk. And so since we've got the Riverwalk right behind us here, I would guess that all of these species have
Yeah.
been brought in already, and either they're growing or they're not. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get that other book to you.
Wonderful, thank you.
It looks like the vendor
I
that's
only have,
providing
sorry.
this mix is Tucson based, so I think we can kind of infer that it's a Tucson based company doing Tucson plants.
I only have a couple other comments. We
Sure.
have Desiree and the plan just for our records.
You repeat that?
Can we get a copy of this proposal and the map itself for our records?
Yes,
Yeah.
yeah. And can send
Desiree,
that
do you
off.
have a copy? I think you were CC'd on it, but
Okay. I'm not sure, but we can.
I'll send you a copy right after this, just so you have it.
And then the other thing I freaked out about was when I saw parade ground, turf removal, and I thought it was on the east side of Craycroft. So in the notes, I think in our minutes, if it would distinguish that it's on the west side of Craycroft in the Adkins parcel, it says it on the parcel. Once I saw the parcel number, I figured it out. But meanwhile, I was freaking out about losing grass on the other side.
Oh.
But I think this is a great idea.
Awesome. It's wonderful. Any other questions? Riggs, good. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you
Thank
very much.
you.
Thank you for
Absolutely.
this work and
And we will thank Damien. Somebody here will.
Please do.
Thank you.
yeah, again, I apologize for not having the know-how on the seed mix, but we will get you in touch with the right people. And I think it's wonderful that you're providing a resource that I wasn't too familiar with on the design guidelines. So that'd be great.
Great.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the visual aids for the design review guidelines. And we're not, and with that, I wondered if we should look at any certain section that as a group we want to look at and then find the photos or take the photos that we might like to see as part of this. And I know gates are something that seem to be coming up, windows are something that we seem to deal with, and wondered about if we wanted to focus on any certain part of this, the design review guidelines, and then also really maybe everybody get involved and take a picture or two so that we can decide which pictures would then be attached to the guidelines themselves.
So I'm gonna,
Go ahead.
you remember that message I sent you?
Yeah.
I think maybe you're right. Maybe it's a good idea to combine these things together. So let me go
Please.
off of what Mary
Yeah.
Lou is talking about. Or I messaged Mary Lou and was talking to her and to Margo and to Elaine about a few things as far as the our general interpretation of the guidelines as it pertains to the code, as it pertains to the technical standards, and how we sort of function when we do a review. I think, Briggs, you have a document, if I, memory serves, for yourself, where you kind of made a large table of how a certain section might, cooperate with the code and the technical standards.
I just tried to kind of understand the areas of under the board's review. And like it can be a little confusing because we have these three major resources that are guiding our conversations and our decision making. But and so each of those resources will talk about, for instance, windows. For myself, yes, I started to make, and I forgot that I can now revisit this because our guidelines have been approved.
Right, exactly.
I tabled that work because we were waiting for this long anticipated update. But yeah, to instead of having to go through all three of these really large documents trying to understand the criteria for windows or form or rhythm, to see those by topic as indicated by the three resources, and to just kind of have like a more streamlined view, to just have just take a different angle and different organizational angle on the topics that come up for the board, so that when we're doing re a review process, it's a little bit easier for us to do citation of what we're referring to, but
A cliff notes of the guidelines and the code and the manual, more or
yeah,
less.
and like it to me, it seems to be like a pretty a regular format to cite the code that is informing a decision-making process, both for historic boards and in other parts of the city. It comes up regularly if you ask the city a question. I was asking the city a question about splitting a lot, and they cited the code. And so, yeah, it just kind of gives our decision making a little bit more oomph, because it's not our decision making is not being informed by personal opinion, but really it's coming from stewarding the information in the code appropriately.
This actually is exactly kind of what I'd like to get at with, over time. Like this is, I think the discussion, this is going to be a working project that's not going to be done overnight. But one of the goals that I'd like to achieve is to go through our guidelines and, try to try to come to an agreement about how we interpret each section, right? To ensure that when we sit down with a review, that we're not in opposite worlds, right? That we all kind of have a general agreement. And we can, you know, disagree about the details, but, you know, there's a general agreement about how that review should go. And I think the best thing to do is if we sort of go section by section, we can do maybe two or three sections in a meeting where, you know, we prepare, we could take, I'm hoping we can take turns, but I don't know if I can prepare, but we prepare a slide that basically has the section of the guidelines, the part of the code that might be pertinent, and the part of the technical standards that might be pertinent. And then try to, you know, maybe we can figure out how we're going to do the photos. This is where the photos come in. You know, some kind of a visual aid that would show us, okay, if we were reviewing this, what would we say is wrong with it? What would we say is right with it? And how do we interpret that as far as our new guidelines go? And move on to a couple of different examples and just attempt to get on the same page as far as those examples go, so that when we see it in real time in a real review, we know more or less that we're all going to say, hey, yeah, that reminds me of this, and we should do that. So I think your document breaks might be really helpful in that regard. And you know, this, whether or not we end up with a cliff notes that the whole board agrees upon as far as like how we should interpret certain things, that'd be great to have a working document like that. But it doesn't need to be anything official. We can have something that, you know, just turns out to be a small booklet, or you know, refers to those slides as it presented, however it might be. That's the part I'm not completely concrete on yet, but I think we can work that out as we go. So with that being said, is there anybody who has a different idea or something to add to that, or they don't want to do it, or, you know,
No, I think it's a good framework. I think I haven't seen it, obviously, but it sounds like a good framework.
Yeah. So, Briggs, did you have something you were going to add?
Yeah, just, you know, we can't be complete code experts but we can do our best to understand and interpret and use plain language, and you know, I think that there's like a limit to how much we can like 100% control our that outcome the way that you're talking about, because like, for instance,
right,
we weren't even in agreement with the city about what a structure is. Right,
the goal would be to get us to get at least that we would all be on the same page. But I don't know. And as far as, yeah, the code, you know, and not necessarily being experts in things, I mean, I would hope, I mean, maybe we can call on you, you know, or call on you when we get stuck, if that's okay. And then, yeah, I mean, hopefully that'll give us enough clarity that we can say, okay, well, the code means this, let's write that out in our cliff notes, and then this is how we want to interpret it. So,
well, I think that the other thing that I was really requesting, I've mentioned it maybe just once to Desiree, but I was asking for it from your predecessor several times, is that I think the board would benefit from a worksheet that we had available to us when we're at home doing our homework for reviews, that's really like allows us to fill in comments related to the different things that this board is responsible for overseeing when we're do, and that like, you know, some people might prefer a printout, other people are going to be totally comfortable doing it on their computer, and that this code guide would be side by side. So when you're looking at a project and you get a funny feeling, you can actually go over and look at the code guide that's also complemented with the design guidelines, and hone in on that area. Like, is this, from a site utilization standpoint, is this meeting the criteria? Is this doing the heavy equipment thing? Here are the three places that heavy equipment got talked about in the UCD, the technical standards, and our design guidelines. And you can see that by topic, and it will help us to have more focused kind of linear conversation, because we'll be able to go through and say, you know what, these nobody here has a problem with the windows being proposed. So we don't, there, nobody is flagging that in our previous review and from hearing it presented. However, there's some concerns about this wall, and here's the citations that are telling us that it doesn't really fit into the historic zone. So yeah, actually, Dan, I just reshared the link with you. You did previously have it. I sent it to you as an email. So maybe our...
We just heard a large thud, in case you're wondering where Mary Lee is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it was a bird.
Okay, good. Just the door.
Yeah, if I can just kind of add to that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
So we all haven't had too many full reviews. So I don't know if this has actually come to you yet, or maybe it's come like once. But we did create kind of a staff summary template that, have you all seen this yet? No.
No.
So we've started using it this year to summarize, kind of summarize the project, provide, you know, background information, the applicable preservation standards. And then we have these checklists that, so there are different, a few different checklists. So this one would be for contributing property modifications and additions. And we have a separate one for new construction and a separate one for signs. But essentially this is, it's not exactly what you're talking about, but I think it's similar in the sense of, you know, that old worksheet that's currently on the website has different, like it quotes the UDC and TSM and Secretary of Interior standards, but has them all separated. And so what we did here was kind of group them by category to make it hopefully more user-friendly. I mean, one thing we could think about doing is putting references, because you were mentioning like a code guide, maybe that would get to that request. The one thing that this is, I will say this is, you know, intended to be general, right, for each HPZ. So this isn't going to get into the specifics of windows and doors for Fort Lowell. It's going to have general information about the size, shape, and material of windows and door openings are maintained, right, repair options fully explored, removals, infills, right? These are kind of general things. New features would match the original, but your design guidelines are what is going to inform, well, what does that mean? You know, what are the common types of windows? What are the common materials? What are the common styles? It will get more into those details. So we wouldn't necessarily have that in this checklist, but I think that's something that you all would put them refer to in your own design guidelines and, you know, and provide comments.
Perhaps. Yeah, that's looking awesome, Desiree. That's and it just looks like a lot more full-fledged than the previous weird two-column one that was just on like a quarter page or something. It's almost like we do need like a fill in the blank notes section for each area, so that like as you're going through and inventorying the property, if there's an issue that's coming up with surface texture, you can put a notation in so that when we come to the meetings, we're like fully prepared and we don't have to like, it's really easy and tangible for us. I don't know if that would help other board members. But for me, like doing it almost like a workbook when I'm doing a pre-review at home, in anticipation of coming together as a team. Mm-hmm. This looks awesome though. Thank you. This is,
we can look at like those.
Dreaming of.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, what we've been doing now is like we'll just type in a note here, right, like in the blank spot. But I like that idea of maybe it's just a column, and sometimes there might be notes and maybe sometimes they're not. The other thing we do is this kind of bullet point, like in this little area here under staff findings. But I think the way you're talking about organizing it makes sense. And
so you said this is a staff document. Is this available publicly or?
I can share it with you. It's not like, we don't have like a blank form on the website.
Well, it's nice because we don't have to reinvent it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. And it would give us a place where we can put down those code numbers that go with each of these sections as well. My concern about pictures, and I thought that Jason really kind of hit home for me, This is for us. For me, the design review guidelines are for the people who are coming and doing the building. And yeah, I mean, we need to know them and understand them, but we want it to be understood by who else is accessing it.
So,
And the photos then I just think they enhance it so
I was
much.
thinking that if we do these presentations, if we take turns like presenting the sections, then we can ask everybody to bring photos, or whoever's presenting can just bring a handful, and that'll at least be the start of our
Yeah.
catalog
And
that
it would
we
be,
can put
yeah.
into the guidelines. But I think otherwise we're gonna have one or two people probably organizing a bunch of photos. There may not be full agreement on whether those photos are the Fort Lowell photos or and then we'll come to a review and be like, well, here are the photo examples, and we'll be like, why are those the examples? So I think it's probably a good idea to do this, like you said, all at once, and so we see our interpretation of how we as a board come together and interpret something, and then how the photos inform that, and those will be the photos that end up in the guide.
I'm wondering if we need help outside the board to do this, like from THPF or from the city. Like I couldn't tell from the presentation that what I think Jason had done. It sounded more like the city was going to be a partner in helping pick out which visual assets and support the board at a higher level so that we don't go into this kind of administrative cul-de-sac you just described.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple different options. And if you all want to, so I'll just say, like with the Barrio Histórico, they're still working on their design guidelines and still have quite a ways to go. And so I've offered the idea of applying for grant funding to help hire a consultant to help them. I think we will do that, but they're also like they don't want to wait. They're excited to get it going. So it kind of depends on you all. Like we can look at something similar, try to find funding to hire someone to help do this work, and work with you all to do that work. Or we can take little piece by piece, right, over time and work with staff. It's just that our, staff capacity is we only have so much capacity as well. So that would probably, maybe would end up taking the same amount of time. It kind of depends on which way you want to go, but I'm happy to help look for funding if that is the direction you want to go, if you want to get some. I know like West University, for example, they updated their own design guidelines themselves, but they did get a small grant from their neighborhood association to do like the graphic design of that. So just some examples of what other neighborhoods are doing.
I would say, for my money, let's get started and see where we land. Because I mean, it may be that we can just do visual aids with the photos we have. I mean, I know, Elaine's got a bucket of photos, and Mary Lou, I'm sure you do too. And Margo has quite a few photos that we just need to kind of collate what we have as a group and see, okay, well, will this work? Will that work? This doesn't work. This does work. And then I think once we have a better idea, and we can call on other expert resources to do that. I'm assuming you're talking about the design elements of it, breaks, or which components of it.
I think that's the main thing we're talking about, right? We're trying to highlight the conform things that conform to the historic zone. I'm wondering if Damien might be invested in just participating in this project, and of course
Yeah, that'd
his
be great.
ability
That'd be fantastic.
to have photograph. I think we should at least ask him. He's a stakeholder too, and he has that expertise. But I think just listening to Desiree say how the other board needed somebody to even lay it out, like that's going to be a valid challenge for us as a board to get it into a digestible designed format.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's not a million photos, but it has some key features that are timeline, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and that it's just usable and like laying out photos with text into like functional documents that are usable for the public. It's a little bit daunting of a task when I myself don't do that type of layout work, right? I can get a certain distance on a Word document, but it seems like this has the potential to be a little more extensive.
I think what I'm saying is let's just ID the photos we want first, like because I feel like we know, shouldn't say we're the experts, but we're the Fort Lowell consultants, and so we're the ones that know Fort Lowell the best, and we say, okay, these are the photos, this is the set of photos we want to work with. City of Tucson, can you now help us to integrate it into our document? I think that's probably where, that's the way we want to go about it. But the first step, I
So
think,
what's
is let's do the interpretation, let's get photos, let's get everything sort of in a big pile that we can hand off to them and say, hey, okay, now we need your help.
Well, I have the pile.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and we'd like to
So
see it
can I ask a
too.
question? So Desiree, what is the cycle on that kind of grant funding? Like if we said yes, we definitely need a consultant to help us sort these. Because we can bring the piles of photos in. What's the timeline on that kind of consulting agreement or funding agreement?
It depends on the grant. So, I mean, we'd have to identify one for you all. So, I don't have one off the top of my head currently. I mean, there are grants, but we're probably going to apply for, like I said, Barrio Histórico for this round. For this, there's one called the Southwest Preservation Education Foundation, something like that. But there, I mean, there are other. There's the National Trust. The sometimes we get SHPO grants. So it really depends on which grant and just where they are in the cycle. But it could take a while, right? Because you have to identify which grant, then apply for it. There's usually a few months of when before we hear back. So it could take a while. So I think the idea of gathering the photographs, I would say, 2 to 3 examples per. So like if you take the example of a door, for example, like 2 to 3 examples of good doors, 2 to 3 examples of ones that are not good. Per category, right? Like we don't need extensive number of photos for each category, but for each thing, just 2 to 3, I would say.
Do you think it would be appropriate to not put the bad examples at all and focus because there's so much visual positivity here, and there might be like instances where we want to call out to show that a rectangle window that's horizontally aligned is not appropriate, but in most instances, isn't it best to focus on what does work?
Yeah, it probably makes more sense to focus on what does work. Most design guidelines I've seen do have both,
Okay.
like what to do, what not to do. And there might be some obvious examples with some categories, and maybe for others not as much. But like a vinyl window or something, might just show a visual of like, I mean, not across the board we don't like vinyl windows, right? So that's something very obvious, something very easy to find a photo of a vinyl window. Just as one
It's
example.
so obvious that they should be able to read it. I don't know. Like, it's
Well,
a
I would think,
but people need to know what that
but
means,
yeah, we see vinyl
perhaps.
windows all the time, right?
Yeah.
In different,
Okay, I
so
see. I understand.
I mean, the other component, I think, what you're getting at traditionally brings is that just from a sort of philosophical point of view, selection for is much easier than selection against, right? So you can say this is what we want, but saying this is what we don't want, that's not a finite list, right? That's it's almost impossible to have a list of what we don't want because it's infinitely long potentially, but we can't say what we do want.
But
And
there
so
might be some things that are just
blatantly.
it's difficult to explain in words, right? And a picture is going to explain it better. So for example, one thing we don't like, right, is people to change the window opening size. And we understand what that means, but someone who's not familiar with this might not really understand what that means. But if they see a picture of, someone filling in like a smaller window than the opening, and then filled in with wood or, weird stuff going on, that's going to convey, that's going to explain what we're trying to convey. Okay. So,
as I'm listening to this, I think this is, yeah, I think we do need to get some pictures that we agree on some of the main areas that we struggle with and the minor reviews as well, because we struggle with placement of solar. We struggle with gates. We struggle with walls. We struggle with fences. And those are typically minor reviews. So I think if we even just took those four and found what we are looking for and what we are not looking for, that would help that single person going out and having an idea. Because I think those minor reviews are getting really, they're getting tougher. They're not getting easier because people are coming in with such different ideas and with less awareness. You know, this whole thing about I don't even live in a historic district. Why do I have to do this when in fact they do? So I really think we should go with some pictures. Elaine, if you've got boxes of these, let's pick some highlights of ones that we do like anyway.
Could your collection live here for a few weeks?
Yeah, that's what I was hoping in July,
Three
because
months?
the chapel is not used in July and August very much. I thought if we
And
can
so,
take them to Turner and just start sorting.
So maybe the next meeting, if everybody's on board with this approach to interpretation and photos, I'd be happy to do, you know, take the first crack at the first couple sections and, you know, just make a little presentation and a couple photos, and we can go from there. We'll have the pile of photos to pick from as we go. What I'm wondering, so the reason I didn't want to do it today, the first one today, is because, you know, we have absent folks. Margo and David are gone. It'd be nice to have everybody. But if I don't know, if I can make a list of people and you all could sign up, or a list of, excuse me, sections, and you know, people could sign up for a section that appeals to them, and we can schedule it for, you know, whatever meeting we can, you know, as it comes up, as long as we don't have a big review or,
Yeah.
you
But
know,
you can
as
also
time
do it.
permits.
You can do it in small groups without a quorum too.
You can do it in groups of two.
Yeah, no, I mean, the goal is that we do it as a big group, right? The
Well,
goal
yeah.
is that we do it as a board because we want to discuss and have an idea of how we all interpret, because the issue that we keep running into with reviews is that we have different interpretations of our own guidelines.
Right.
And it keeps biting us in the butt when, you know, we're kind of butting heads with one another and the applicant is sitting there with their arms crossed going, what is happening? So it'd be nice to have some agreement, but you had your hand up there, Briggs.
If it could be make the summer so slow, maybe next month, that could be like the sole agenda item. Because I think it's gonna take at least an hour and a half, and
Oh, I think it'll take multiple meetings to
yeah,
get through
but
the
you know, maybe really trying to say that this is our focus time, or choosing as a board to have an additional meeting time to accomplish this. Hopefully we could do it in the off review meetings or something, but
No, I think anytime time permits, we should be self-educating to this end. But I do think it has to be done with everybody, as many people present as possible, because otherwise we're going to be, you know, leaving out people's interpretations and their takes on it. So, do we want to make this an agenda item then? Is that what you're saying?
For the next meeting, make it an agenda item. I think what I heard was two parts. One is working as small groups. If Elaine's going to have all the pictures here, you know, we can meet in groups of three and go through and say, we're going to do doors today. Let's look through these photos, find the doors that,
Would it be groups of two,
no,
right?
because
Four.
we're six. Quorum's 51%, not half. See,
Okay.
that's we
Gotcha.
always need four
I see. Okay.
for a quorum. That's our That's our
Okay,
big.
we were fine. That's why, okay, changed. I
Yeah.
see.
So that's, yeah. So we need that. So anyway, so.
Oh, can I interject something too? I have also have a lot of electronic files, and I can put them on the Neighborhood Association Google Drive, which has terabytes of space, and then give you all access to them. You could also look at them that way.
Great.
I'll do some of that. I'll do some of that while I'm up here in the mountains and have nothing else to do.
Perfect.
Okay. And so the next meeting agenda item will be looking at, you're going to pick a, you said you wanted
Yeah,
to.
I'll just do the first section that is relevant. So I think, the historical component, the history of the guidelines and of the neighborhoods, we can skip, but
Right.
pertinent section that requires some interpretation, we'll start with that, and I'll do it for the first two or three sections and go from there. See how
Okay.
far we
Okay.
and then hopefully I'll bring the list of the section headings, and hopefully others will volunteer to say, oh, I'll do this and that, and so on.
And Desiree, you'll send us your form
Yes.
that I think also gets us started going.
Desiree, it's uncanny how that form looks like the worksheet I was doing for
Oh,
my.
yeah.
Yeah. It really, I went and looked at it again, and it just had that one additional column for notes. It
Oh,
was
good.
almost, it was almost the exact same concepting. It had, it said yes or no. It didn't have a NA.
Good. Thinking along the same lines.
I think we should just be open to the option of the possibility of tabling the item, depending on if any large reviews come in, just because the tedium of summer, like there is a limit to how long the board can meet.
No, it's I'm thinking only when time permits. Like if we have big reviews, there's no way we're going to get through this kind of thing. So.
And it might be good to start with kind of simple things, so like doors, windows, right? Like versus say additions, just as a suggestion, roofs.
And we can skip sections that are too daunting or too simple and start the ones that are most pertinent to
The
our
most
common
common.
reviews.
Okay. Anything else on this topic? I think that's great, Dan. Thank you. So then we did some minor reviews recently, and I am still feeling like the responsibility of one person doing that minor review, and in part this clarification that we're talking about for the guidelines will help us overall. But for now, it still seems like it is a daunting, talk about a daunting thing where for gates and walls and windows and things like that, that it still is a big deal to do it by yourself. And I know that we've really been trying to match the city guidelines, which is they really request one person, and in your document it says one person will represent the historic district. So I am hoping, first of all, this will help us, and I still feel like we are all looking for support when we go out to do that minor review. And then it also goes to that next step of a PRS person who may or may not agree with whatever we've said. So there's so much that goes with it. So I am wondering if we can either continue with two people going out, if two people are available, not to not have it done in the time frame, but to also be looking at there's a primary person and a secondary person at every review, at every minor review, until people are feeling pretty confident.
I would have to double check because, I mean, in conversations with the city attorney's office, that's
That has been the practice, is one from each board. And so you start to get into, there's it's a minor review for a reason versus, a full review.
Does the vote stipulate one person?
I'm not sure. It just says representative from each. So
Yeah.
it doesn't, yeah.
I think that's kind of the goal with the having the cliff notes basically is that nobody feels lost in the weeds when they're out doing this, right? Or not just for as a group, but if they're doing a state of mind review. So yeah, maybe the idea of having a document that we can all kind of agree on as far as interpretation goes, that might be
That would be helpful.
just an internal. Like you join the board, you get the book, right?
And then minor reviews are, has her hands up, but minor reviews tend to be, just a few handful of things, right? Like specific things. So maybe that's a good place to start, is solar panels or doors, those gates. Yeah, so that
Minor review handbook and full review.
I would like to say, even if it feels a little challenging when you're there, because you're like with the homeowner, you're allowed to say no at the minor review. We are empowered to say no, this second idea also does not satisfy the requirements of the historic zone. And I know it can be a little bit more harder to say no, and that's just generally a challenging life skill for some people, but we are empowered to do so when a minor review is not complying with the historic zone. So just a friendly reminder that we are empowered to do that.
I think, Briggs, I think the issue is that these are mostly virtual. And I don't want to speak for Margot. I'll let her speak when she's here. But I think the difficulty she's had is that she doesn't feel like she has a good grip on the proposal just from the information she gets. And because really no one goes on site. I mean, not no one. I did the other day, but she was struggling with like looking at plans and making that decision. But maybe we should have this conversation when she's here.
Well, and I don't think it's just that she is struggling at all. I think and you're right. If it's all about the park, I think one of hers was at the park. They did the Ramada there. And that was something that, well, why couldn't we be at the park and look at it? And solar panels should always be, because there are so many fields of vision that you need to see to be able to determine what is really the best placement for that solar panel. And we've done it. When we do that, it really makes a difference. So anyway, yeah, I don't know how to manage that, but we've always, like, for solar panels in particular, we have been on site. The city doesn't have to be on site, and the PRS person doesn't have to be on
Which is
site.
maybe that's
But
a component of it is if you can, I guess that's the challenge. You may need to field who's in town and who's able to go on site. And if they can't go on site, they don't.
yeah,
Like, and otherwise, it's just not gonna. Yeah,
it's
they're
just too
not.
hard.
Yeah.
It's just too hard to do that.
There's
Yeah, other.
an education aspect of it too, especially for people
Yeah,
who've
some
not
of
done them.
the other boards will go, they live in the neighborhood, so just take a walk over and, look at the site. They have the plans emailed to them or virtually. But if a site visit, like Elaine, you and I did the one at 5259 East Fort Lowell Road recently, we met on site with the property owner. So, I mean, there are different ways to go about it. I just, typically with minor reviews, I will say, like, typical practice is not on-site reviews. And just in my experience, I've worked in other.
I assume there's always something on site.
Well, I'm just
Oh,
saying in other cities, right? Like,
okay.
these are generally desktop reviews. They're smaller projects. It does take a significant amount of staff time to coordinate all these different minor reviews and get on site for ones that really, if they're you really would like them, we can make that happen. It's the code was written in the 70s, right? In the 2020s, and we have a lot more development going on. So it's just to manage all of these, it's very
It is something where even if it's virtual, we can still show up. I mean, so in other words, if it's, let's say it's just a homeowner and there's no city representative, no BRS representative, they're online. Can we?
Yeah, we would just want to let the homeowner know, like, if you're actually planning to go. I mean, if you're staying in the public right of way, you can just
Yeah.
look. But if you want something more, you want to walk on, I mean,
No,
we need the property
I
to
think,
make
you
sure.
know, it'd behoove us just to be neighborly too, and say like, oh yeah, we're the representatives board. We want to, get to know you and talk about why this is important. And I think there's multiple benefits to us still in person. And whereas you may not need to, the PRS may not need to, as long as it's permitted, that would be. And there's an avenue to inform them that somebody will be there. That would be stellar if we can do it that way.
On a note of site visits, I always try to drive by the sites that are under review, at least to look at them from the road and have a sense of what's surrounding them. Like, we recently talked about a gate in the Little Desert, and I'm like, I grew up across the street from this property, and I don't really know what these plans are conveying to me. And on the way to the chapel, I pulled in and I looked at the new posts that were sunk in the ground, and I knew exactly in my head where they were going to go way differently than looking at a site plan. And yeah, it's just doing a drive-by can be enough to bring that higher level of in self-confidence to the conversation, so you can really visualize the thing that we're talking about. Because site plans are so abstract to look at. Like, thank God they have to include photographs, because the site plan itself is abstract.
Okay. Anything else on minor reviews?
We had an update on where we what's pending or.
Yeah, so we did I mentioned the 5259 East Fort Lowell Road. That was the most recent one. So that's the perimeter wall. And that was recommended for approval with some conditions. The conditions were to kind of make it rather than like one height all the way across, kind of staggered a little bit. Keep it lower at the front, and then it goes up a little bit to the rear. So, still waiting for the revised plans for that, but that was the outcome.
I think the work is done, but
It's
I think
already up, yeah.
it's already up. And so I had a question about that one. And you said there was some the walls themselves, like that face Fort Lowell that you can see directly, were not to ask to be staggered in those faces, but only like 4 foot, and then it goes out to 5 foot. Is that right? Okay.
It steps up on the east side.
Okay.
And then we do have the Ramada coming up. So that Ramada, basically, it's the Ramada, the footprint of the Ramada itself is not going to change. It's just the shade structure portion isn't going to be filled out. So right now it's like only a portion of the kind of the roof has material that's shaded. So that
That's
will
the one at the
be
park, right? You're talking about at
right.
Fort Lowell Park.
You know which Ramada it is? Any chance you know that?
I don't remember.
It's the one that's between the pool and the
Six,
pond.
maybe. Oh, okay. Okay. But I mean, it's very minor. It's just like it's not changing the actual Ramada itself, just kind of filling in the shade. But other than that, that's it, I believe. Those are the only two I have on my list. But if others come up, I will let you know. So in terms of sending the minor reviews, do you want me to coordinate with you, Mary, or continue to send them to Margo?
Well,
What's
I think
that?
we had talked about alternating so
Okay.
that and that puts you as one of the
Alternate.
contact people, Dan, so that
Okay.
you would alternate with Margo and we need to verify that with Margo, but I think we had talked about that previously.
Barbara and I don't have interviews.
Yes. You're the two that are being contacted by the city, and they will alternate. Now you can defer. You could say, I can't go to that one, and you could ask Margo, or you could ask another board member to go. But
And Margot's
the
gone most of the summer, so she wouldn't have an opportunity to actually go look at a site.
But okay. Yeah. So maybe for now, send them to Dan.
To
Okay.
Dan. Anything else about minor reviews? I feel like when that I have been more concerned about these seem to be impacting us so much more than they had in the past. Anything else? Nothing else from anybody? Okay.
Just
I
champion
mean,
Libby and
the
say no.
be a champion and say no.
I think the other option as far as, the educational component in minor reviews is if the one comes up and the person doing it is a non-expert, like if that's the only person available to do it, can they consult with somebody else on the board prior to the review? Could they say, oh, you've done this before. Can you direct me, what I should allow, what I shouldn't, or this, I don't know, this now.
I mean, generally speaking, the guidance from the clerk's office is board members should not be talking to each other outside of meetings, outside of noticed meetings. So I would, that kind of
I
implies,
see. I thought it was just the quorum. I didn't realize we couldn't talk.
that's the guidance I've been given. So,
Okay. Good enough.
I mean, I think if there are specific topics that, like,
Yeah.
if it's, if you mentioned solar panels or something that you feel keeps coming up, I mean, maybe it's worth putting on an agenda and talking about it generally, or maybe that's the discussion that happens with
Mean, that's what
the
we're
design
kind of trying to
guidelines.
do, but I'm just thinking, from the model in medicine of do one, see one, teach one, you can't really do that if you're only one person right now, right? So it's like I've not done a B1 Ramada before, I had in person, well, aside from what we've done photo is right. Or signage is another big one because there's certain ordinances as far as, I think commercial properties have to have certain rules that they follow, right, as far as the code goes.
Right, and that's our responsibility as staff is to provide, support in that way. So if it's
But let's say somebody came with a sign and said, oh, well, this is this way because the city said it has to be. Knowing kind of where our purview ends, I think is important. And if you have somebody who's done it three times and they say, wait a second, no, you're allowed to perform this, this, and this, they can't tell you no on that, right? You don't know what you don't know, right? So it's like, how do we develop the meta knowledge in those unique instances, so that we're not. I mean, I guess that goes back to does the code truly stipulate or not that we can't have two people? And like, yes, one is preferred. And let's say we're doing a teaching, minor view. Like you say, can we have one primary and then one who's learning? That would be really beneficial.
And remember, like the commissary was a minor review, and there's that was so awkward with
And it
multiple,
was a huge
and it
thing.
was huge because, and even with multiples of us there, it was still, but I don't think we'll do that again.
Yeah, and that's also kind of right when people have different opinions, and the idea of the minor review is we have a
Yeah. So yeah, that was a tough one, but okay. Yeah. I what I'm hearing is that no, that, but if you really feel like it's out of your ballpark, you may have to refuse to do that review. And hopefully we can find
Yeah, I
somebody
think
else. And
there's
maybe
like
that's, I mean, once we start refusing.
the problem is that you're going to run to the issue of when board members either term out or retire, you have no knowledge base, which is kind of, I mean,
It's
to
always
be
like
frank,
that.
like we're halfway there in some ways because I think for me myself, and that's why I want to do this interpretation stuff. I don't know much. I'm just gonna put that much more crassly, but I don't know enough to know what I don't know. And I think Margot's expressed that, at least when I spoke with her, that like we don't know what we don't know. How do we get to where we can start to know more? So yeah, we'll start with the interpretation, but if you could check if there's another means by which we can educate board members, from senior board members educating other board members, especially in those instances where, we only send one person out, right? Particularly in those instances.
And we have, I mean, I did that training this spring. We do have another, there's going to be a CLG training, a design review training this winter that Chabot's going to be organizing. So I think some of it is training, right? And giving, but also, like the staff report, and that those are for full reviews, but I mean, we can think about for minor reviews, providing a little bit more support in that way too. For your hands up.
I also just recommend revisiting the code and the technical standards and rereading our own design guidelines, which may have become kind of abstract. I know they have to me. I need to reread our new updated ones because we were kind of out in the weeds trying to get through approval and like n now reconsider them. And I'm not gonna go into all of the administrative part at the beginning. I'm gonna focus on the guidelines for the design. And we have these are our primary guiding documents for our decision making. And it's a little laborious, but that reading these documents truly is the thing. The code and the technical standards and the design guidelines are truly our primary resources for informing our decision making.
I think that's the goal of what I'm talking about. It's like we have, we go line by line in these things and try to come to an agreement, a consensus on how we interpret. But I think that's still,
I
that
don't.
doesn't get you over the line with some of these minor reviews, right? There's some of these unique cases where, okay, that solar panel sticking up this much, but is it, from this viewpoint, but not from this viewpoint? Like, what is the public view shed in this case? Is it all of this, or is it conclude that? And unless you've done it before, or unless you have somebody who can tell you definitively in that case by case basis, right? It's hard to know. So I think this will help. Don't get me wrong. I think reading through the guidelines,
It's just
understanding
a
our interpretation.
recommendation. Like they're a little confusing, but the more times you read them, the more comprehensive they become. I did it many times because I was trying to make this support document so that when I'm talking, it's informed by the whole reason that this board exists is also because of those documents. It's literally written into the code. We're an actual zoning. That's like an overlay on the properties. And just the more you read it, the more comprehensive they become. And I don't it, it's there's not a huge amount of open interpretation. I mean, like the city, think about how like constrictive they were on our design guidelines. Like the whole point of the code is to be in the clearest possible plain spoken English as possible to kind of clear up that gray area. The code right now is going through a little review that we had presented to the board about the same thing. Like, this is just, we need these to be even clearer. So that I'm going to do it myself. I'm just saying it's time to, I haven't done it for a while. I myself am going to go reread the code.
Good. Anybody have anything else? Anything, Desiree, anything else you would like us to know about?
I think the next item, if we're done with minor reviews, I don't have anything else on minor reviews. Just staff updates. You may or may not already know, but Jason Lilienthal is no longer working with the city of Tucson. He was last day was, I think, it's been a few weeks. But we do have his backfill position up, so we're in the middle of a recruitment currently for a historic preservation lead planner. So that's good. We're moving quickly on that, and hopefully we'll get that position filled soon. So in the meantime, you can reach out to me, Michael Taku, if I'm out or something, we'll be the backup.
I'm so happy to hear you got approved to
Yeah.
open that position.
Yeah.
That would have been the biggest
Yeah.
problem. Wow.
Excited about that. So, and we're also hiring an intern. So adding a little bit more capacity will be exciting. Yeah.
And so nothing else? Anybody else?
Do we want to make that a future agenda item, or do we care? Just so we insert a reminder or
Yeah, so I've
guideline
thinking about
review,
that range.
interpretation, and photo selection, if you call it that.
Yep. So we will have a meeting in July unless we can't get quorum. So I will be asking you about 2 weeks before to make sure everybody's going to be here. Good.
Thank you, team.
Thank
Thank
you. Thank
you.
you.
6:44 p.m. German. Thanks.
Bye, all.
Thank you. See
Enjoy
you.
the
Thank you.
cool. Is it cool up there?
No, it's hot up here.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Not as hot as you are, but it's warm.